Raphael alcoholic. Well, you just took all the nerves out of me, so I'm good. Let me see. Let me start my timer here. I've got 10 minutes. Again, I have a home group. My home group's out in Redlands, California. It's a good group, Monday night. If you're ever in the area, come check it out. It's called the Inland Group, and it starts about 7 o'clock Monday night. I have a sponsor. His name is Triton, out from Yucaipa area. I have a secondary sponsor, which is Kevin, which I was at another meeting, and I confused the both, and I told him, Kevin's my sponsor. And then afterwards, they were just talking to each other. It's like, wait, when did this happen? You know, some are sicker than others, right? And I got my grand sponsor over there, Dan. And, you know, I want to thank Eric for coming out. You know, he rode out with me for, like, the last 3 days. It feels like, anyways. And I want to thank Mark for asking Trenton, which asked me, to speak for 10 minutes for you guys. So thank you, Mark. Let's get into it. My sobriety date's August 1st, 2021. I'm just going to share in a general way what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. Basically, I grew up in a family of two older brothers, and we had 2 acres of land, so I know you guys know about that pretty much, because out here you got a lot of land and a lot of house. And man, they were just terrible to me. I felt all the time like I was just, you know, since I was the youngest, they would put me up in a tree and try to swing me off the tree and dig holes and bury me alive. And, you know, I'm surprised I'm here today, you know. Growing up, you know, I'm telling you this now because, you know, those were the questions why I was asked, you know, why I used to drink a lot, because, you know, I just felt tormented from the beginning. You know, I had those two older brothers, and then I had a dad that was, he was kind of very aggressive growing up. He was a very physical abuser. So, you know, I just felt like that my whole life, you know, just felt like I was, you know, just the runt of the family and just being tormented and tortured everywhere I went. You know, I went into school and I got some friends. I was kind of doing good at elementary school. We moved and then everything went out the window. I started getting into fights and, you know, not, you know, you call my mom this, I call your mom that, and then some fists go back and forth, you know, and all kinds of stuff. So I was always getting into trouble after we moved. I was very, very angry that we moved. You know, I felt like we left all my friends behind and went to a new place, and it was 2 acres of land, and it was just out of nowhere, you know. So I felt alone. My brothers got older, and you know, I was left alone again. You know, we used to play Legos and Kinects and all that stuff, and it was fun. We'd play Super Mario Karts and all that stuff, and you know, they just got older. Girls got prettier, and you know, the beer and alcohol started coming in, and they just, you know, went out the door. So, you know, a little while later, I followed them, you know, and I started drinking. And I was probably about, like, 13 years old, and I had my first, like, real drink, you know, where I could actually feel it and feel that ease and comfort. You know, I never felt the pressures anymore of being tormented and tortured from my brothers and my dad, you know. And I can remember that my mom was the saint of the family. She would always pray for us. You know, and I think that's why I was able to stay, you know, somewhat in life, basically. You know, it was her prayers and my grandma's prayers. You know, they always had that God on top of me. I was born and raised into a Catholic household, and, you know, I could sit here and listen to the preacher preach and read the Bible, and I just didn't get nothing out of it. You know, I just sat there just nodding off and, you know, getting the elbow from my mom, wake up. You know, I just couldn't understand what was going on. After that, you know, growing up in high school, I had a couple kegger parties, and that was all fun because I had the 2 acre land, you know, and just do whatever I wanted. Had a big old teepee fire and just crazy stuff. And I remember when I was about 23 years old, I got my first case of DUIs, and I got popped out in Colton, if you guys don't know where that's at. Thank God, because that place is a dump. But anyways, so I got popped out there, and, you know, I got sentenced to 12 AA meetings that I had to do in, like, I don't know, 6 months or something like that. I went to 2 meetings, and once I found out, I could sign my own court card, because, you know what? How do they know? It's Alcoholics Anonymous. I was out the door. Was I getting ready to be done? No. I said, you guys are alcoholic, I'm not. I can control my drinking. I never heard a message. I never even heard the the steps, the traditions, nothing. I didn't hear anything. And I continued my drinking. You know, I paid my due diligence to the court system. You know, I paid my fines, paid my dues, did the whole SR-22 thing and all that. And I just continued. You know, I said, you know, I'm not an alcoholic yet. And for the next, I don't know, 12, 13 years, I continued to drink the way I did. You know, just get in the car and be drunk all the time and just, you know, get off work and get my first 3-pack of Modelos and just, you know, get an hour away from home still and get another 3 more tall cans and keep drinking that and then, you know, get another 2 more right before I got home. And by the time I got home, I was drunk. You know, I was passed out. I would go socially to try to get out of myself, was socially to bars, but that didn't end up working because, you know, I'd just be the one off to the corner and just because first off, the bartender's right there, registering all that, so, you know, she can serve me beers right away, real quick, and I didn't have to wait. And I could just remember being in that bar and just feeling so alone, you know, just feeling so alone. I got to a point where, you know, I destroyed the relationships, my friends, my family, you know, some of the people that I loved the most in my life. And I just destroyed all those relationships. They finally kicked me out of the house and said, you know what? We don't want you here no more. So I got kicked out and I was living out of my car and man, I should have got sober faster. You know what I could honestly say for these last two years, 8 months, it's been beautiful. I came into the rooms desperate, hopeless, and just alone. You know, I had thrown my whole belief in God, believe in a spiritual experience or spiritual anything. I threw that out the window. I wasn't even cursing God out no more. But when I did that, I just lost all sense of hope. And I remember I got another DUI out in, this was 3 years ago now. I got my second DUI and it was out in Anaheim. And I just, you know, I was in a point in my life where I just didn't care anymore. I was ready to take my own life. Ready, because that's where my alcoholism takes me. It either takes me to jail or it takes me to death. There's been plenty of times in my life where I can say that honestly and openly that I was ready to end it all. You know, out of all the torment, out of all the torture and all that stuff that I felt in my life, I just felt like I was getting ready to just end it all. But, you know, like I said before, my grandma and my mom were my God saviors. They really prayed over me. So that's why I believe that God was still, like, keeping an eye out on me. And something told me in that jailhouse when I was ready to take my life, you know, it's just keep going. Just keep going. Ask for help. And I finally did. I asked for help, and somebody brought me into these rooms, and I'm very thankful for that man that brought me into these rooms. About 9 months into my sobriety, I started my own meeting, so I was, like, fully in the middle. Thank you. I was fully in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous, 9 months. And, you know, I had a meeting every day, and I had a commitment every meeting. And, you know, I started that meeting, too. And what's funny is a couple months later, I caught a resentment towards that meeting, so... Needless to say, I don't go to that meeting anymore, but, you know, I found a good home group. Trent spoke at one of the meetings I used to go to, and, you know, I was about a year and, I don't know, a year and 2 months, and I was ready to walk out those doors and never come back. Didn't have a sponsor, wasn't working the steps. I heard Trent speak, and I was just like, man, that's the guy. That's the guy. And I just fully committed to myself a little bit, and, you know, here we are a little bit later, and, you know, I still haven't fully worked my steps, but, you know, he's nudging me along to get it going, like, come on, man, keep going, you know, you're good. But, you know, I went to the convention, and I can honestly say I've seen some very young people in the meetings, very young in their sobriety, just step it up, man, just step it up. And they got right in the middle, and they just started doing action, and I just, man, just seeing that just motivated me more. It was beautiful to see so many beautiful speakers speak about their truth, about their message and hope. And it's just, if you have not been to a convention, I really highly recommend going to one because, I mean, you just get to hear and you get to be able to socialize with so many other people. It's beautiful. So just about out of time, but, you know, I just got to say to the newcomers, you know, we were all newcomers at one point. And sometimes we don't get it right away, but, you know, just keep coming back and you might hear something that's going to relate to you. I hope somebody. Thank you. All right.